Good evening, everybody. We are continuing our deep dive in the Siddur. We began waking up in the morning with Berachos HaShachar, starting with a fresh new day, with a fresh perspective of optimism that regardless of what happened before, we can have the ability to make today a very meaningful day. We talked about the Karbanos section of davening, culminating in Parshas HaTamid, giving us a sense that the real sacrifices what we're making in life are the ones day to day, day in, day out, morning and evening, leading us to Pesukei Dezimra, talking about praising Hashem, not like Hallel on the big stuff necessarily, but praising Hashem for, again, nature and day to day, His involvement in our lives as we see Him in the act of everyday nature, leading to Berachos Kriya Shema. We talked about a couple of themes about Berachos Kriya Shema and Shema. First paragraph of Shema, talking about these two elements of how to arrive at Avas Hashem and lead to Yiras Hashem and Yichud Hashem. We talked about Yotzer Or, about seeing Hashem through nature, and about Avarab, seeing Hashem and Kadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, which is the essence of His name. And that leads us to V'hayem Shema. They go together, Shema V'hayem Shema. So much so, I remember a number of years ago, I was working I was in charge of a team minion in Queens, and we used to give out the aliyos for kids would volunteer to lay in the week after. And the Parshas Devarim, after davening, we'd give out the aliyos for Baas Chanan. And one of the kids is looking through a chumash and he said, "I take shishi." So okay, he got shishi. He was like so excited for shishi. Well, it came the next week and it was clear why he wanted shishi, because shishi starts out, Baas Chanan, shishi is Yishma. He knew all those psukim very well. The problem is, the aliyah had like 20-something psukim, and he only knew the first few. Maybe he thought the whole aliyah was just Shema, and he would have an easy time quick sailing. Well, he did Shema, very smooth sailing, and right after Shema, he started saying V'hayem Shema. Happens to be the word after the end of Shema, V'sharecha, in Baas Chanan, is the word V'haya. V'haya ki V'yacha. It's a different V'haya. But it happens to be, to make it more complicated for this person who didn't prepare so much, Shema actually led to V'haya, and he just naturally started saying V'hayem Shema, and we had to slow him down, and that was a very slow, very painful aliyah. But he was able to make the connection in his head, because we all make the connection between Shema and V'hayem Shema, whereas the reality is, in the Torah, they're not side by side. They're not necessarily so far apart as far as parts of davening that are side by side. They're not so far apart. V'haya is in Parshas Ekev, only one parsha later in the Torah, but they're not really side by side. But there is a connection. Clearly, from the end of V'haya, you see a lot about Ksharetem, Uchsavtem, B'dibartabam, right? You see the same themes. L'davarbam over here, B'dibartabam before, Shetcha V'secha, Atcha V'derach, you have similar themes to Shema, so clearly they're meant to go together in Tefillin, they're meant to go together in Mezuzos. So there's obviously a connection over here, but we have to figure out what exactly is the connection between V'hayam Shema and the previous section of Shema. Why do these two things go together? And more importantly, how do we understand the main themes of the second section of Shema? What are the main themes of V'hayam Shema? So if you take a look together in source number one, I gave it to you not from the psukim per se, I mean, it's exactly the same words, but I called it from the Siddur. And let's see if we can analyze what are the main themes of V'hayam Shema and see how they relate to each other, the themes, and how they can relate back to Shema. So what stands out right away in source number one, in V'hayam Shema, V'hayam Shema Tishmu al Mitzvah Sais, we're talking about observing mitzvahs. So again, back to the first part of Shema, but Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, having a deep devotion to Hashem, commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good, so that sounds very nice. But here the difference is, it emphasizes keeping all the mitzvot, double lashon Shemoa Tishma'u, about mitzvot.
The big difference is the first is singular to you and the other is...
We're actually not going to address that tonight, but it's a very good point. The first parsha of Shema is in singular form, and the second paragraph of Shema here is in plural form. That's a very big difference, very important for another time. You're absolutely right. So one theme of this section is about keeping mitzvos as a way for a person to come to Avas Hashem, Avodas Hashem. The second theme we see over here is Nasati Mitzar Artzachem B'Yitayireh Malkosh, and a lot about agriculture. If you do the mitzvos, what's the ultimate reward? What would you expect it to say? Olam Haba, Tchias HaMesim, Yimas HaMashiach. Great things, based on Mikdash. What do you get?
Rain.
You have rain, and other kinds of rain, and grain, rain for your grain in Spain. So you have all the stuff you need. You feed your animals. Okay, good stuff. Hishamru lechem pen yifel avavchem. So be careful on the other side. So devote your heart to Hashem. You'll get lots of rain and grain. But be careful that you don't deviate from giving your heart to Hashem. And instead, service Elohim achirim for avodah zarah v'shtach avisam lahem. She will be angry with you via tzaras hashemayim v'lo yigya matar. You're not going to have any rain, and the ground is not going to give any grain. So it's already our second theme again. It's if you do good things, you get rain and grain. You don't do good things, no rain, no grain. A lot of pain, but no rain and no grain. Theme number two, schar va'onesh, but specifically about rain. Theme number three, va'avadatem mehera me'al ha'aretz ha'tova asher Hashem nosein lachem. going to be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. The next section is very much similar, very, very paralleling the Parsha of Shema about learning Torah, teaching Torah, tying on your hand, between your eyes, writing on the wall. And again, at the end, Lama'an Yivu Yimechem, Yimei Venechem, Al Ho'adama, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to your forefathers, there's Eretz Yisrael. So I'd like to suggest the three main themes of this paragraph are the idea of doing mitzvos as a way to come to love Hashem and to have avodas Hashem. Number two is the idea of schar ve'onesh for mitzvos, which is somehow manifest in rain versus drought. And number three, a connection to Eretz Yisrael. What exactly is the connection between mitzvos, schar ve'onesh in rain form, and Eretz Yisrael on the positive and the negative side? And what does this have to do with Shema? So when the Gemara refers to this paragraph and what its theme really is, the Gemara refers to it as kibul ol mitzvos, whereas Shema is Kabbalah's ol malchus shemayim, person having the big theological, intellectual connection and devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the grand scale for the big issues of belief in Hashem and commitment to die for Hashem. The Hayam Shema kind of takes that to the next level of keeping mitzvos, keeping tefillin and keeping Shabbos and keeping kosher and keeping Taras Mishpacha and building a sukkah and making sure not to steal and making sure not to covet. All the details of the Taryag mitzvos are here. The Hayam Shema as kol mitzvosai, right? It doesn't say kol mitzvosai, but it's talking about mitzvos in a general sense. And the Gemara in source number two asks, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Lama Kadma Parsha Shema Le V'Hayam Shema? Why does Shema come before V'Hayam Shema? And the Gemara says, Kidei Shi Yakabel Alav O Malchus Shemayim Techila. The first step of a person has to be Makabel O Malchus Shemayim, the general sense of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'Achar Kach Makabel Alav O Mitzvos. And then only after a person is Makabel O Malchus Shemayim, then there's a possibility for them to Makabel O Mitzvos. On a simple level, this is not difficult to understand. You have to first believe in a Mitzaveh, then you can believe in a tzivoy. It doesn't really make sense for a person to engage in good deeds for Hashem if they don't believe in Hashem. So first you have to accept Hashem as your king, as your one God, and then you engage in the mitzvos that he gave us. It makes a lot of sense. But perhaps to give us some more meat over here, make us something more practical, to think about it in terms of the following. Number one, Shema is very grandiose. I wouldn't say Shema is not practical, but Shema is very grandiose. We talked about looking at nature, we talked about learning Torah, but Shema is these big ideas, believing Hashem in the grand sense. But to concretize that, how do you really show belief in Hashem? How do you really come to have a relationship with Hashem? And the answer is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. It's not enough for a person to be just a believer in their head, but a person has to actually find a way to connect that to their meisim, to connect it to their body, to actually concretize it and to materialize it in this world so it becomes real. Another way to say this, the connection between Shema and Vahaya, the idea of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim first, and only then Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, it's a beautiful source. I once heard from Rabbi Shalom Rasner quoted this 10, 15 years ago from Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger in a Sefer Eila HaDvarim. He's a Rav in Yerushalayim today. And he wants to know, what do Chazal mean when they say that you have to have Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim before you have Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos? And he writes in the second paragraph in number three, Hine Omeres HaGemara B'Mesachas Kedushin Samtem, one of the Pesukim over here, V'Samtem, place them, Chazal Darshan Samtem, Samtem, Sam is a poison, Sam is a potion, something you drink, it's an elixir. Zacha, if you're Zocha, Nasis lo Samachayim, it could be an elixir of life. Torah and mitzvos can be, for a person, the source of all vitality. Lo Zacha, but if you don't do it right, Nasis lo Sam Hamaves. That same mitzvos, that same Torah, Varma Ela, these same words can be an actual toxin. They can poison a person. And Rav Schlesinger points out the irony over here. Osa Torah b'diyuk, the same Torah, the same mitzvos, the same tzivuyim, le'itim, how can it be that one substance can be either good for you or bad for you? And he gives an example from Esav HaRasha, where Chazal talk about Esav HaRasha's kibud av ha'im was legendary. Esav HaRasha, Chazal say that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the third paragraph, used to wistfully state, I think of myself as someone who was mechavi my father whenever I can, but I'm nowhere like Esav. For me, when I want to see my father, whatever I'm wearing is good enough. If my clothes are dirty or they're not pressed properly, it doesn't matter. I go service my father. But Esav, he would wear the most fancy begadim. He get all dressed up. Esav was mechabed his father like no one else. Esav was mekayim kibud av ve'im, or at least kibud av, on a level that no one else can relate to. But Chazal tell us, where did Esav get that coat from? Where did Esav get that fancy coat that he wore to be mechabed his father? You know what Chazal say? He killed Nimrod to get that coat. So Chazal say. So says Rosh Legender in the underlined section, Harelanu ish ke Esav, shemavakesh l'kayem mitzvahs kibud av b'chol ha'idurim ha'efshariyim. He wants to mekayem kibud av at the highest level. Puts on a suit and tie to be able to do the highest level of kibud av. U'l'shem kach, and to accomplish that, humuchan laharogis nimrod. Kidei lahasig es begadav hachamudos, to get these glorious clothes, ulekayim behem mitzvas kibudav. Hu hadugma lemisha haTorah nasis lo sam hamavas. When Chazal said the Torah could be an elixir of life, or Torah could be a poison, a person who has Torah without any anchoring to what Torah is all about, we start to view individual mitzvos as the be-all, end-all. For an Esav who says, for me, kibbutz is only thing that matters. And if I have to steal, cheat, and kill to be able to do kibbutz properly, that's what matters. It's the God of kibbutz ve'im. That's what I care about. When that's your religion, when this mitzvos without an anchoring to a general sense of Yirah Shemayim and a larger network of mitzvos and values, so then Torah can become a poison, out of context, with the wrong number of ingredients and missing some ingredients. Those same mitzvos which can be, kibbutz is supposed to be arichas yamim. But kibbutz could also be a source of great detriment. And that explains Rav Schlesinger, Mishum Kach Kadma Parsha Shema L'Vahayim Shmo. That's why Shema has to come before. It's predicated. The Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah, so V'Hayim Shmo is predicated on first being the Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. Kidei Sheyakabel Kodem Ol Malchus Shemayim, V'Yachar Kach Yekayim Ol Mitzvahs. Ki Rak Bederech Zo Adam Yechol Gam L'Hagshim Es Mataras Kiyim HaMitzvah. You only could fulfill and make practical the mitzvahs on a proper level when they're predicated on an assumption that there's a larger picture over here, there's a larger state of values. Often a person is so passionate about one thing, one mitzvah, one value, and they see it as the be-all, end-all of their existence. And in the process, they trample on other things for that one mitzvah. One of my favorite stories, Rabbi Zev Leff, in Moshav Bat Hasiyahu right now, but he used to be a rabbi in Florida, in North Miami. So there was a story of an elderly woman who called up Rav Leff, and she was very distraught. She said, my husband's insisting he wants to fast this year on Yom Kippur, whereas his doctor said he's not well. He really, it's dangerous for him to fast. So Rav spoke to the doctor and got the information. And it was clear the guy should not be fasting. So Rav sat down with this individual and explained to him, your doctor said, your wife said, I spoke to them, it's really not safe for you, have to eat this year. And the guy said, I'm 87 years old. I have never once eaten a Yom Kippur. I refuse to let this be the year. If I'm able to stand up, I'm able to daven, I'm able to fast, I refuse to listen to my doctors. And Rav said to this man, fine, you can do whatever you like on Yom Kippur, but starting Yom Kippur and beyond, you're no longer welcome to get an Aliyah in our shul. You're no longer welcome to count for a minyan in our shul. He says, what are you talking about? He says, you're an apikoris. It's apikoris. How am I an apikoris? Rav Leff said, I don't know what this Yom Kippur God you believe in is, but it's not the God of my Torah, and it's not the God of our shul. And if you believe in this other God, Elohim Achirim, known as the Yom Kippur God, where that's the only value that matters to you, where you don't follow the halacha about Yom Kippur, and you don't understand the context in which Yom Kippur plays against the Chai Bahem and living a life. That's the halacha. A person gets so tied to a mitzvah outside the context of Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim, that mitzvahs are standalone. Mitzvahs become a goal instead of a means to Yiras Hashem, Avodas Hashem, Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim, that a person starts to worship the mitzvahs. A person can get lost in the trees of Talmud Torah, Tzedakah, and trample on so many other bigger values and not connect them to Ol Malchus Shemayim. So the first idea, our first takeaway for tonight is to realize that this connection, again, it's not in the Torah, much to the chagrin of that teenager, laning, but not side by side in the Torah, but Chazal clearly linked them, and the Torah links them in our tefillin and our mezuzos, and we link them every morning in our davening. The first thing to think about is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos really does come on the heels of Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim. Number one, to be able to concretize our lofty ideals into practical ways to make it real, but then very important to connect those individual trees to the larger forest, the larger ideals, otherwise you have an Esav HaRasha. And we just read last week's parsha about the death of Yaakov Avinu. Chazal say Esav HaRasha also died at the same time-ish. He comes to Maris HaMachpelah, and then Yaakov's grandson chops off his head, which rolls into Maris HaMachpelah. Now, they say that it was a very fitting end for Esav. His whole life, he didn't always do the right thing, but he always had his head in the right place. It was appropriate for Esav. The Bali Machshava explained that for Esav to have his head in Maris HaMachpelah, but not his body, indicates a separation between his thoughts and his meisim. One way to say it is, he had potential, but he never actualized it. But according to what we're saying right now, maybe he had some good meisim, but they weren't attached to the Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim. He didn't have a real sense of Yiras Hashem. He didn't have a sense of what Torah is predicated on. For Kibbutz Av, he would kill anybody. That shows a person is worshiping the mitzvos as opposed to worshiping a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's commanding us to sometimes do this and sometimes do that, and it's a matter of understanding it in the general context. Okay, so good. So now we have our understanding. We have to keep mitzvos because we're being l'kayim l'avas Hashem Elokeichem u'avdu b'chol levadchem. Mitzvos are not by themselves the goal. Mitzvos are a means to avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, avodas Hashem in the grand scheme, which links us right back to the previous parsha of Shema. The question is, so then what's the reward? Kabbalah on mitzvot. That was our first theme. Our second theme is good. You do mitzvot, you get rewarded. And what's the reward? Rain and grain. That's what Schar Va'onesh is about. How much rain you have and how much rain you don't have. Why does the Torah actually never mention Olam Haba? It's a good theological question to ask. The Torah, it's a good question, if it's never or it's just hidden, but the Torah never explicitly states, if you do mitzvahs, you get Olam Haba. And why doesn't the Torah say this? It's a question to ask on this parsha that we're saying in Shema. The Torah describes doing mitzvahs, getting rain. You don't do mitzvahs, you lose your rain. But it's also a question that the Mefarshim ask in Parshas Bechukos, saying, Parshas Kisava by the Tochacha. There the Torah also describes doing mitzvahs, what do you get? Rain. You don't do mitzvahs, what do you get? No rain. You do mitzvahs, you get security in your country. You don't do mitzvahs, you have war and difficulty. Rachmana Litzlan, we're seeing right now the terrible effects of war. Shem Yishmor. But we would expect at some point the Torah should say that the real purpose of doing mitzvahs is Schar and Shemayim, Schar and Olam Haba, Schar and Olam HaNeshamos. So why does the Torah leave that out? And what is this deal with physical material reward? Doesn't it seem petty compared to what we're expecting to see in Olam Haba? The rain and the grain is really supposed to be so important to us. Why does the Torah ignore the Olam Haba and really emphasize material reward and punishment? So the Kli Yakar, 500 years ago in Prague, Shlomo Ephraim Lemschitz, he wrote a beautiful commentary called Kli Yakar. And in this section, in Parshas B'Chukosa, he collects 9 answers to that question. And he wrote in the 1500s. So before the 1500s, the Rambam and the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra and the Reina Bachia, all the Rishonim really addressed this question. He quotes that the Barbanel already collected 7 answers, but he collects a couple more answers. And by exploring 2 of his answers tonight, we'll get a really good understanding of what Schar Va'onesh is and how it connects to materialism and how that's supposed to lead us to the goals of Shema and V'Hayim Shemoa. So the Kli Yakar in source number 4, I gave it a very, very long piece. I gave you little excerpts. In source number 4, he quotes the day of the Rambam. Rabbi Mehilchos Tshuva explains, why does the Torah not talk about Olam Haba? Why does it emphasize the reward for mitzvos is material success? And says the Rabbi Mesorah number 4, Shekol Elu HaYehudim Einan Iker HaSchar. Nah, rain and grain and security in your land, that's not really the actual schar for your mitzvos. V'chol HaRoz V'hatovo Shenizkru Kam B'parsha Zob Hei Mitzvara Me'inyan HaSaras HaMon'im Levad. It's just describing what allows a person to continue to do mitzvos. A person does mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to remove war and remove illness and remove famine and remove sorrow and difficulty. The reward for doing mitzvahs is physical comfort to be able to do more mitzvahs. The idea of having rain and grain is to be full and healthy and satiated and energized, so you can do more mitzvahs. The idea of removing difficult obstacles to mitzvahs is to allow a person to do more mitzvahs. And when a person doesn't do mitzvahs, then the punishment is that they have more difficulties physically, financially, socially, that prevent them from doing more mitzvahs. It's a vicious cycle. But that's not the schar. Aval ikar haschar shel olam haba, eino nizkar kan, kidei sheyavod es bora l'shma, v'lo machmas haschar ha'hu o meyiras ha'onesh. So the real emphasis over here is not the real schar, because the real schar is something that people should not be having in mind. We don't want to do mitzvahs because we're thinking of the schar. But as far as why the Torah mentions physical success, and that's not called doing it lo l'shma, it's the whole point of those is to allow you to do it better. That's what Chazal referred to in source number 5 as schar mitzvah mitzvah and schar vera vera. I'm sure we have Mordechai Shapiro around to be able to sing this line for us. He was just here. Schar mitzvah mitzvah, schar vera vera. What does Chazal mean by that? The Mefarshim are very clear, it would be heresy to believe what the Torah is saying is, the real schar is more chores. You take out the garbage, good for you. You know what your reward is? More garbage to take out. What? That's not fair. We're obviously not comparing mitzvahs and averos to garbage. The point is that a person who says, well, the ultimate reward for this action is to do it again, seems unfair, seems circular. Where's my ultimate reward? So Pirkei Avos is definitely not saying that the ultimate schar for a mitzvah is a mitzvah, and the ultimate schar for avera is an avera. Pirkei Avos is really getting at is that a consequence along the journey toward the ultimate reward is the ability to keep doing it. The greatest schar a person can get when they are doing something meaningful is to be able to keep doing it. If you do the job well, then you get to keep the job. And keeping the job ultimately gets you the big payday at the end of the day, but being able to continue working in this capacity is very, very meaningful. And that's mamish how Rashi on this pasuk, v'hayam shemoa tishmu, explains the double lashon. What's shemoa tishmu? If you listen, you shall listen. Explains Rashi in source number 6. Im shemoa b'yashan, tishmu b'chadash. Comes a snowball effect. When a person is observing mitzvos and they've been doing it well so far, it puts them in a position where they're able to do it again, either because of a habit or because on a roll or because, as the Pesukim are describing, you're going to have enough financial success. Person who learns Torah and feels great about it. Person who learns Torah and finds a sense of satisfaction. A person who finds that they're able to sit and learn without financial restraints or physical illness, then they're able to keep doing it. That's not the ultimate reward, the Rambam says. The Torah is highlighting for us the means to be able to keep living that lifestyle. If you're living the lifestyle and you're doing it well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you rain and grain and let you be able to continue living that lifestyle. And if you're not, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it more difficult for you. Think about Paro and these Parshios. At some point when a person is picked their path, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a person on the path that they have chosen. So a person who chooses a path of evil, at some point a person gets locked in the path of evil. That's the Rambam's context there in Hilchos Teshuva. But over here, a person who commits themselves to a lifestyle of Yiddishkeit, of Torah mitzvos, Shemoa Tishmu, you do mitzvos, it becomes a snowball effect, where a person who does mitzvos finds it easier to do more mitzvos. And that leads a person on a path of continuing this beautiful lifestyle. But this idea is not complete yet. I'd like to add on one of the other answers of the Kli Yakar. That's the answer of the Ramban. The Rambam's idea is that the real schar is later, but the Torah is teaching us what it means for a person to be able to keep living that lifestyle with the means to keep it successful. In source number 7, the Kli Yakar has another answer. This was third on his list of 9 answers. He quotes from the author of Chovos HaLevavos, and he also quotes from the Ramban, the following idea. Why doesn't the Torah mention the Ikar Schar in Olam Haba? Why does the Torah highlight such mundane things as wealth and grain and food and removing war from our midst? Why does the Torah highlight these things? Explains the Kli Yakar b'shem the Ramban, a beautiful idea. Shekol ha'yehudim shebetorah heim lemala min ha'teva. The idea that we get Schar v'onesh in this world based on what we're doing is a miracle. It makes no sense. She'ein zedavar tiv'i. She'ardu g'shamim b'zman she'osin ha'mitzvos v'yikalei ha'geshem min ha'aretz k'she'ein osin ratzono shel makom baruch hu. It makes no sense that today's forecast, tomorrow's forecast, should have any connection to whether I put on tefillin today or made a bracha today or learned Torah today or stole something today or murdered someone today. What's the connection between the weather and my doing mitzvos or Klal Yisrael's doing mitzvos? Here it's in plural because it's talking about Klal Yisrael as a whole. So Klal Yisrael as a whole, smiras and mitzvos, affects the weather, affects the rain. It makes no sense. And that's the emphasis. The Torah, according to the Ramban, is emphasizing the schar in this world, not because it's cheap, not because it's mundane, but because that's the chiddush. In other words, amnam mashatala ha-nefesh l'makom chotzva, zeu davar tivi el ha-neshama, vein zeh b'derech pele. It's almost like the Torah doesn't have to say that there's schar in Olam Haba. Of course, when a person lets their neshama connect to the divine and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's going to be spiritual consequences that ultimately lead a person close to Hashem. That's obvious. It goes without saying. The chiddush the Torah has to emphasize is that you're putting on tefillin, you're keeping mezuzah, you're learning Torah, you're teaching your children, you're taking care of the needy, you're refraining from lashon hara. Those things affect my parnasa. Those things affect the weather. Those things affect my intelligence and affect my ability to present and get a job. That's the chiddush. The chiddush Torah needs to emphasize is that there's material reward for doing mitzvahs. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that my actions over here can affect the weather and affect my material success? There's no need to tell us that there's reward in Olam Haba. That's obvious. The Malbim says this so beautifully in source number 8 in a commentary on Parshas Lech Lecha. The pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu promises Avram schar, and Avram assumes that schar is in this world. The Malbim explains the word schar doesn't make sense to be talking about Olam Haba. Schar implies a reward. The analogy he gives is if a parent wants a kid to study better, kid's doing very poorly in school, kid's not motivated at all, kid's doing horribly in school. Parent says, you know what? If you learn nicely in school, I'll give you a reward. And the kid says, ooh, what's my reward? The parent says, if you study, you'll be really smart. No, that's not a reward. It's a natural consequence of studying. If you study, you'll know more information. It doesn't motivate the kid. The ultimate reason to study is so you learn something. The ultimate reason to be a good person is because you become a good person. But that's not schar. Schar is something extra. Schar is to say, you learn for the test, I'll give you a candy. The candy is unrelated to the studying, so we can say it's schar. It's a gift. It's a wage. It's a present. It's a prize. A prize implies something that's not inherently related to the activity. It's not a natural benefit of doing so. But if you do it, and you're not motivated in general, I'll give you something external, which is a chiddush. There's no inherent connection between a lollipop and studying for a test. But the ikar is obviously being able to do the test well and being able to amass knowledge. Says the Malbim on the third line, V'yem kein, schar olam haba, shehu nitzchias hanefesh, v'his dakaka v'shuva al tzor hachayim. What is olam haba? It's like a Disney World where people go on rides and they just hug each other. No, olam haba means the neshama's ability to bask in the kedusha that it elevated itself during one's lifetime. So then, of course, the Torah doesn't have to say that. Do you know if you do mitzvos, you come close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what your reward is? You'll be close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, that's obvious. That's the inherent reward of doing so. That's not schar for doing so. That's a natural consequence. You learn, you get smart. You exercise, you get healthy. If you do mitzvos, you are naturally coming li'avas Hashem, ul'avda b'chol avadchem. You're coming close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The natural consequence is olam haba. The chiddush that's being emphasized, and on top of that, you get a second bracha. You're also going to have rain, and you're also going to have grain, and you're also going to have good health and good wealth. Those are the chiddush. Goes without saying, a person who connects themselves to the source of eternal life will eventually be connected with their neshama to the source of eternal light. That's obvious. On top of that, the Torah gives us a special bracha to tell us, and you'll also have material success, which has no connection whatsoever. It's the prize. It's the lollipop. Why? Because as the Rambam said in answer number one, because it allows us to keep doing that. So putting answer of the Rambam with the Ramban together, you get this beautiful idea. Go back to source number one. Look how it reads right now. V'haya im shamoa tishmuel mitzvosai. Rashi explained, if you do mitzvos, you get to do more mitzvos. V'yavos Hashem elokeichem ulavdo b'chol avadchem v'chol avshuchem. The ultimate schar is right there in the pasuk. The schar is, you loving Hashem? What's the reward for loving Hashem? You're loving Hashem! You're binding with Hashem! Ulavdo b'chol avadchem v'chol avshuchem. You know what the schar is? You know what the ultimate reward is for that? You have a deep connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is the natural consequence. That is the end goal. That is the end game. The Chiddush is v'nasati mitar tzachem bito. The Chiddush is on top of that. I will give you the resources to be able to continue. Shemoa tishmu. I'll let you continue to learn, to continue to work tefillin, to continue to give tzedakah, to continue to be kind, to continue to find motivation and meaning and resources and happiness and health and satisfaction, because that allows you to keep doing it. That's the Rambam's approach. It allows you to keep doing it. It's not the schar, but it's the means to allow you to keep doing it. But the ultimate goal is li'avas Hashem, ul'avda, b'chol avchem, b'chol nafshechem. That is itself the end goal. What is olam haba except having a loving relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and serving Him with all your heart? Olam haba we think of as this big pony land. People are going on rides and people are just dancing around, like spinning in circles. We're missing the point. The ultimate schar, not according to the Malbim, the word schar doesn't make sense in that context. The ultimate consequence, the ultimate reward for a person engaging in Avodas Hashem is Avodas Hashem. That's what it is. The benefit on top of that is a person lives a life that continues to facilitate that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So schar mitzvah mitzvah doesn't mean that that's the end result, but schar mitzvah mitzvah, the prize, the external reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us to facilitate continuing to live that lifestyle is for that ability to continue living that lifestyle. Ultimately leading a person, Shema Tishmu, Le'avas Hashem, Le'avdu B'chol Avadchem, V'chol Nafshechem, that is the goal. That's Shema. Shema is more general, the lofty theological idea, and we concretize it with Maisim, Shema Tishmu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards us in this world with the means to continue doing it. And if we start to deviate, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, aside from the real punishment is, you're distancing yourself from me. You're unplugging, you're disconnecting yourself from me. But if a person starts to distance themselves, you want to go along this path, so I won't give you the resources that allow it to make it easy to learn. I won't give you the resources that allow it easy to afford a Yiddish lifestyle. If you don't want to live this lifestyle, you want to do Avodah Zarah, why would I want to give you means to keep doing Avodah Zarah? I'll stop giving you the means that allow you to do Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah can mean idols, or it can mean involving ourselves in work or culture to the extent of deviating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why should I give you the comfortable life that allows you to keep doing Avodah Zarah of culture and lifestyle? The person's engaging in the lifestyle that leads them to closest to Hashem, then Hashem says, I'll give you the means to be able to keep doing that. Beautiful. So that you have a better idea of the connection between mitzvos and material success, to be able to keep building that ultimate connection. But the question that now remains is, why rain? Pasuk could have said, a person who does mitzvos gets a lot of cash falling out of the sky. A person will have the ability to find real estate at an affordable price. We've explained why material success and material external reward is important, but why specifically rain? What is the connection between rain And this idea of doing mitzvahs, building a kashrut in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and using our schar in this world to be able to keep doing that. Why rain specifically? So I gave you in Sar Simmer a beautiful, beautiful essay from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zatzal, where again, in the context of the Tochacha, he explains the pnei ma kol habrachos hagashmios hamuskaros b'torah al kiyam hamitzvos b'alma b'torah. Why does the Torah always reward us, these external rewards in this world? Rak b'inyanei chakla'ut. Agricultural stuff. There's fields and there's rain and things are growing and there's fruit and the safety of land. Why doesn't Torah ever madua ha Torah eina mavticha ashiras bekesef zahav avanim tovos riboy nechasim kikarkos? True, back then they had much more of an agricultural leaning, and agriculture was everything. But still, they could appreciate gold and silver and having property and having karka and having real estate and extra big houses. Why does the Torah always specifically link to rain as opposed to something else? So Rav Pinkus explains that when a person has a lot of material wealth, when it comes to kesef and zahav and houses and cars and vacation homes and pools, a person feels very secure. A person feels very well-grounded to the point where they no longer need a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu would reward someone with gold and silver and fancy diamonds, then a person ends up being in a place where they become more distant from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the last paragraph on this page, he says, "B'noeg sheba olam," and the typical way the world works, "imitain ashir la'ani, matana chashuva." If a person helps someone else out by giving them financial resources, "k'chol sheh matana gedol lo yoser be'erka," the more expensive, the more valuable the gift, "kach pocheses talos ha'ani bo." The more the rich person gives the needy person, the less the needy person becomes dependent in the future on the rich person. To the point where if the rich person would give everything to the poor person, covering all of his expenses for the next year, well, then he's not going to see them for the next year. In other words, the bigger the gift, the greater the disconnect between the giver and the recipient. If I give you $1 at a time, you have to keep coming back. But if I give you $100,000, you don't come back for a while. The Kadosh Baruch Hu would have given us, says Rav Pinkus, a beautiful line on the next page, "Im gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu hayanosein kach matanos." If the Kadosh Baruch Hu would have given us physical success, that leads us to feel kochi ve'otzem yadi, that leads us to feel disconnected because we have it all. We have what we need. We're self-sustained. Shekvar lo nitzdarech ol deber chasav v'hashpa aso. We don't have an ongoing need to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo haisa zo bracha, ela haklala hagidola bi'oser shi'achol aliyot. Beautiful words. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given us the kind of reward that makes a person more distant from Hashem. It's not a bracha. That's the greatest curse in the world. Shriya tov ha'amiti hu rak ha'kirva elav yisbarach. The greatest kirva is li'avas Hashem u'la'avda b'chol avadchem. So any gift he's going to give us, we just said, the purpose of these gifts is to allow us to be able to keep living this lifestyle. And it's the external thing that gets us closer to the real means, to the real goal of kirvas elokim. If the gifts that he gave us were one way tickets out of there, or all the material wealth that we need to feel self-sufficient, then the means that he's giving us are taking us away from the goal of those means. The whole purpose of those gifts is to get us to continue living the lifestyle of Ahavas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. So nowadays we're not farmers, but we can understand. If a person is dependent upon rain, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm giving you rain," we have to keep relying on that. The greatest gift to have enough to feed our families and enough to be able to live our lives comfortably is a gift that also is limited, a gift that also we're dependent upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu for all the time, which keeps the connection alive. If the goal of mitzvos and schar in this world for mitzvos, which we're saying is an external possibility of continuing the relationship long enough to actually get the real consequence, which is the ilui neshama, which is the kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the reward has to reflect that. So a farmer understands that rain is a blessing for now, but they have to keep coming back. They're not scot-free, one way take it out of here. They have to keep relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the gift is a great gift, not only because of what it benefits them right now, but it's even greater in the sense that it continues the relationship going forward. And therefore, even though we're not farmers anymore, even if we have cash in the bank, we can still have the same mindset. Pinkus concludes, Umahein, or it's underlined, Umahein abrachos hagidalos hamatanos hayikaros biyoser. What are the most important things in our lives? Habriyut, habanim, v'chayim atzmam. Health, family, and life itself. Those things money can't buy. Money can't buy different materials we can do our shadlis. Money can't always buy health, and money can't guarantee your children, and money can't guarantee a person lives a healthy life or has life itself. If that's the case, the person recognizes that having these things, having the main things in life, is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that requires constant maintenance, requires a constant connection, then we're doing it right. Pai Rishmoa tells us how to have Kabbalah Samach Shemayim translate into real-life applications that are predicated on those big values. And the ultimate goal is to come to Avas Hashem, Kirva Hashem, Avodas Hashem. And the means along the way, the physical blessings, the schar, is an ability to be able to maintain that lifestyle. So the materials are represented by rain, which indicates an ongoing relationship. Something that we can't just walk away from and say, I got it, I have enough, I'm set for life. Whether we actually need rain for our parnasa or not is not the point. The point is rain is a paradigm for what it means to have an ongoing source of bracha that keeps us tethered to Hashem rather than self-sufficient and become distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this idea of rain, and why it's so important to our connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, really highlights the special connection to our third theme. Our first theme was Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. Our second theme was about rain and Schar Va'onesh. And our third theme was Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael really is highlighted by this element of rain, by this element of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's direct connection with us. I gave you the Pesuk in Parshas Ekev, in source number 10, in Pasuk Yud. Pasuk is contrasting Eretz Mitzrayim, which we enter in Parshas Shmos, in this week's Parsha. We're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu highlights the contrast between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Ki Eretz Asher Atav Vashem Al Rishta," because Eretz Yisrael, what you're going into, Loche Eretz Mitzrayim He. It's not the same as Mitzrayim where you once lived. Whereas Eretz Mitzrayim, you can water your crops from the Nile. In contrast, Pasuk Yud Aleph, "The Haaretz Asher Atem Overim Shem Al Rishta," but where you are going in Eretz Yisrael is a rocky place. There's not so many sources of water. "Lemitar Hashemayim Tishtem Mayim," it's dependent upon the rain. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresho Sa Tamid, Doresho Sa, a land that Kadosh Baruch Hu was always looking out for. Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are always on Israel. Bereshis Hashana V'ad Acharis Shana, all year long. The Malbim, really, the Ramban says the following idea, but the Malbim really spells it out in a way that really spoke to me. The Malbim in source number 11 explains that that's the contrast. The curse of Mitzrayim is you have what you need. The greatest bracha is the greatest curse because they have the Nile, so they have whatever they want. They're living in denial. Right? They have everything that they need, which disconnects them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they feel self-sufficient. They don't have to pray and do a rain dance every so often, because everything that they have is coming from the ground up. As opposed to Matar, which he explains, B'nai Yisrael might wonder, he says, why don't we just stay in Mitzrayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reward us with a new land. We were slaves for a long time. This is a good partial question for these partials of these weeks. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just give us Mitzrayim? Instead of taking us out, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just take the Egyptians out? We worked hard enough for living in their country. We worked hard enough. Why wasn't the payment for all those years of servitude to keep their land? Take them out of the land, throw them in the ocean. Says the Malbim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is explaining that very question by telling us, the land you're going to isn't like that land. You wouldn't be happy in that land. I have higher hopes for you than being in a land in which you have everything you need from the ground up in the Nile. Because Matar, he writes in the fifth line, HaMatarhu Hashkachiyi, Matar implies a hashkacha pratis, a direct connection, a direct involvement. V'yored b'hashkachas Hashem ha-pratis. V'eret shechi yusam min ha-matar, kulam tzrichim b'chol eis ve'eis l'racham e'shamayim. We have to constantly turn to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael because we don't have constant rain. We don't have all the rain in the world. Shitin lehem matar b'yito. Ava Mitzrayim, sheshosim min ha-nahar. Mitzrayim has all what they need from the Nile. Ein yoshveha mitzapim l'racham e'shamayim. They don't have to look up, because they look down to the river and they have what they need from the Nile. Shekevan shehishka hanahara sa'aretz pa'machas, they have for the whole year. Kodesh Baruch Hu could give us enough water for the entire year. If he gave us Mitzrayim, he'd be giving us water for the entire year. But instead, he gives us rain, a little bit now, a little bit then, and then not for a while, and then again, and it's completely tully on our mitzvahs. Which again, is a teva, it's a nes teva. That's crazy. How can that be? And my putting on tefillin, my writing a mezuzah, my Talmud Torah, that these ma'asim I do, that we as a society do, that affect whether it rains in Israel? Yeah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be a relationship where there's direct feedback, there's this response that our mitzvot elicit reward, not just any reward, a reward that gives us a one-way ticket out of there. No, a reward that gives us the ability to maintain a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu all the time. Do you know what these pesukim lead up to? Look at Pasuk Gimel, verse number 10. V'haya im shema tishmua mitzvosai, asher anochei mitzvaschem hayom. I tricked you. These are the context of V'haya im shema. That's it. V'haya im shema appears in the Torah in the context of these very pesukim. on the heels of telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires us to have a relationship in a land that's all about the Hashachah Pratis and responds with rain to our mitzvos as a way of direct feedback and ongoing closeness, where the ultimate reward is the kirva to Him and the Avas Hashem and the Yiras Hashem and Yichud Hashem and Avodas Hashem, that's the ultimate goal. But to be able to do that, not only for the physical means to be healthy enough to do it, but to see Him responding and feel, yes, I can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. Yes, my mitzvahs mean something. They allow me to continue along this path to eventually deepen the connection of my neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the ultimate reward. But in the process, in this world, not just to have a response system, but to live in a land where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are always on it. He's always looking for Shachar Pratis. He's always looking for a deep connection with us. We discussed this idea in the past when we talked about tefillah as a whole. In source number 12, we talked about what Chazal say, why the man came down day by day. The Gemara wants to know, why didn't the man come down in buckets, in Costco-sized man containers? Why didn't they have man for months or years at a time? And the Gemara explains, it's the same idea. The father gives the kid a credit card. The kid only calls when the credit card is canceled. As long as they have what they need, they don't have to call. Give them a debit card with $1 or $5 on the card. They have to keep calling every time the card runs out. You give them enough food for today, they have to come back tomorrow. You give them enough food for a year, they'll come back next year. Man is another type of rain. It's another parnasa that comes from Shemayim. So rain is our man. Whether it's not rain for us if we don't live in a place or we don't live in a time where we feel rain is deep connected, but it's the same idea. If it's parnasa in the bank, if it's paychecks, if it's health and it's wealth, if those brachos allow us to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in day-to-day life and they allow us to continue being motivated and healthy enough to continue living a lifestyle of Avodas Hashem, then we're getting the message. We are learning Vayim Shmuel correctly. Vayim Shmuel specifically appears right in the same context of teaching us Eretz Yisrael versus Eretz Mitzrayim, B'nai Yisrael versus B'nai Mitzrayim, the Jewish people, and specifically the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, where we all hope to be. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most attentive to us. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most palpable to us. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels like we have this deep connection. Where He doesn't just give us the man in one shot, He doesn't just give us the gold and silver in one shot. Rav Pinkus told us that the whole point of rain is that it most accurately depicts the kind of relationship HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants with us, where we don't feel self-sufficient at any time. We don't feel disconnected. We don't feel rebuffing Him at any time. That's why Shema always emphasizes Eretz Yisrael. It's on the heels of this pasuk that tells us this is what Eretz Yisrael is all about. That Shema keeps saying, if you're going to do it right, you'll have a comfortable life in the land. And if you don't, you'll be out of the land. This is how you have l'man yirbu yameichem al ha'adamah. To have a life in this land means to live a lifestyle with an Eretz Yisrael mindset, with a rain mindset, with a Shema Tishmu mindset, where mitzvahs lead to more mitzvahs, and relationship leads to more relationships. We discussed this idea back in the very first year because we said that's the goal of all of tefillah. What we're describing now, what Bahaya is all about mitzvahs and mitzvahs leading to more mitzvahs and the rain, Eretz Yisrael, all these ideas are about a dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a constant relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal of tefillah. The goal of tefillah is for a person to constantly feel needy. When we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our needs, we are highlighting just how much we need Him and can't live without Him. Not one day, not morning, evening, or night. We have to keep referencing it again because we're not self-sufficient from morning to night, from morning to afternoon, afternoon to evening, evening to the next morning. Every day we daven again as if to show we don't have everything. We need more rain, rain in quotes, rain, actual rain, or rain meaning whatever it is that He's raining down for us that gives us a constant connection. This is the core of what tefillah is all about. And you're not going to believe it. What is the source for tefillah? Which pasuk in the Torah do we learn out the makor for tefillah? The Rambam who counts tefillah as a mitzvah daraisa, you know where it's learned out from? Look in source number 13. First off, Maseches Tainus, Tanya, Li ahava es Hashem Elokechem ula avdo b'chol levavchem, says the Gemara, Ezo hi avoda, shehi b'lev, havi omer zo tefillah. The Rambam quotes this pasuk as the chiyuv to daven every single day. Pasuk doesn't say daven every single day, but it says to love Hashem and build a connection with Hashem and avodas Hashem with all of your heart. How do you serve Him with your heart, says the Gemara? With tefillah. You know where this pasuk is from? Where's this pasuk from? V'hayam Shemoa! That's where it belongs! That's where tefillah belongs! It's all coming together. It's not just random lines here and there, random themes. Hey, mitzvahs are important. Hey, Eretz Yisrael is important. Hey, rain is important. Hey, reward is important. Hey, Kavos Malchus Shemayim is important. Putting it all together, Shema comes and tells us to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have big, grandiose ideas, and we say, yes, yes, we believe. Vaya comes along and says, concretize it. Make it real. The mitzvahs don't exist outside the vacuum of Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim. But once you have Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim, you commit to that, these mitzvahs, their goal is the same thing. It's to arrive at Avas Hashem, Avodas Hashem, B'chol Levavchem. What is it? That's tefillah. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is the ability to serve Hashem and to feel needy. I once heard someone explain, why is tefillah called an avoda? What makes it an avoda? You can sit back, feet up, and just say the words. What won't work? Schlepping and charity could be work. Going around collecting late at night. How is tefillah an avoda? Where's the avoda shebelev? You have to really work hard to feel this. Because it's not so obvious to us living in a generation where, A, we're not in Eretz Yisrael, which is a big chaval. We're in Galus. Terrible. Nebuch. We're in Galus. At the same time, we're also not tapped into the rain system, whether it's literal rain or just, we don't always feel this direct one-to-one correlation between our mitzvot and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's response and the ability to see the blessings of life as the means to continue living along the path that brings us to Avodas Hashem. It's an Avodah Shebelev. Tefillah is an Avodah. It takes work. Not physically exertion, but it takes Avodah Shebelev. It takes work internally for a person. When nothing is wrong, the Marsha here, the last source for tonight, the Marsha here explains that there are other sources in Tanakh that talk about a person davening at a drought. There's many sources of people davening at a drought. But the emphasis here is even when nothing is wrong, even when nothing is wrong at all, there's no Eis Tzara. Tefillah Shebechol Yom, the tefillah of day-to-day life, when nothing is wrong, that is where Chazal teach us tefillah. Tefillah at a time when nothing is wrong, to work Avodah Shebelev, to feel as if we only have enough rain for today. We only have enough mun for one more day, which keeps the relationship going, which keeps us living a lifestyle that allows us to continue along the path to Omalchus Shemayim. But it has to come through all mitzvahs. Shmo Atishmu. Let's go back to source number one and read it now in Shema. Now it all comes together. After we talked about Shema, right after Shema, only one parsha later. Payam Shmo Atishmu Mitzvosai. Rashi told us that means mitzvos leading to more mitzvos, a person living a lifestyle that facilitates a lifestyle of mitzvos. Li'avas Hashem Elokeichem u'la'avdeu b'chol levavchem v'chol nafshechem, which means a person accomplishing the ultimate goal of closeness to Hashem, loving Hashem, serving Hashem with tefillah, having this mindset in tefillah by asking Hashem every single day, three times a day. We're constantly needy. You make a bracha 100 times a day, we're constantly needy. We're needy hundreds of times a day. You go to the bathroom and you travel and you get up and you go to sleep. Every time you do anything, you have this neediness. You have this sense of internally working, of Avodah Shebelev, to feel the goal of this, which is that you need rain. And if you do mitzvos, you'll have rain at the proper time, just enough for today. And you'll be able to function with that, which facilitates a lifestyle of serving Kadosh Baruch Hu and allows a person to connect to Hashem in the ultimate way. But if you don't, then you're tearing yourself off the path and you're not going to have that rain. I mean, you're not going to have that ongoing connection. You're not going to have a shachar pratis, which is what Eretz Yisrael is all about. If you do it properly, you'll thrive on the land. And you don't, you'll be out of the land. You won't be living a lifestyle like that anymore. This is what Shema is all about. This is what tefillah is all about. This is what mitzvahs are all about. It's an ongoing sense of connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that we feel at all times that we're in need of Him, that we appreciate the way in which our service of Him leads to more service of Him. So our takeaways for tonight, number one, after stating a general belief in Hashem and Shema, we now commit to concretize it in everyday life with mitzvahs. Like Schlesinger told us, mitzvahs must be founded on Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim, or else our values can become warped. We don't believe in a God of this mitzvah, a God of that mitzvah. Mitzvahs are the conduit to be able to achieve the ultimate kirva of Yichud Hashem, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. Number two, Olam Haba is a natural consequence of building connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to happen as a result of coming close to Hashem. You come close to Hashem. But the Torah always emphasizes the material reward. That's the bonus, which allows us to continue along that path, building that connection. And rain specifically, or Pinchas said, is what allows us to maintain not just our lifestyle, but awareness of Hashem and our neediness for Hashem in that process. And the connection to Eretz Yisrael then is so tight, because really that's what it's all about, being able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most palpable way, to see how He responds to our mitzvos, how He reacts based on our mitzvos. And that's why it's no wonder that V'haya actually is the source of tefillah. Avodah Shebelev is this very idea that we're trying to highlight. The role of mitzvos, the role of Schar V'Onas, the role of Eretz Yisrael, the role of Klal Yisrael. Tefillah is about working hard to be able to see this in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So hopefully for the next week or so, as we think about this theme, until the next year, talk about the next section of Shema, which really isn't part of Shema. That's for next time. But hopefully we think about these ideas of taking what we talked about last time of Shema, and seeing Hashem in nature, and seeing Hashem in daily events, and seeing Hashem through Torah. Now we have the opportunity to concretize it. What am I going to do? Each person has to ask, what am I going to do to see Hashem in day-to-day life? How can I see Him more when I have bracha, when I have money going to the account, when I have a good health report, when I feel good about myself? How do I directly connect and attribute those schar va'onashes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a way of facilitating growth? Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, as we work toward tefillah every day, building a close connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodah Shebelev, we should be zochah to feel that connection every single day.